If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 2. Acts 2, we're continuing this series, or finishing it up today. This is us, and we've been talking about our core values. And the things that we value are the things that shape us, right? We've said that every week. The things that we value are the things that shape us. You know, we should not have to tell people the things that we value. They should just be seen in our life, right? So if we value something, it will be seen in our life. I know John was telling me this week that he was visiting with someone that that he's in, one of the other leaders in Boy Scouts, and he was saying, "Yeah, I see you at the gym. You're with that big guy with the where's the University of Tennessee stuff." And, you know, so, I mean, obviously, I value the University of Tennessee. I'm gonna wear my Tennessee clothing proudly, even though it's tough in the last few years to do that. You know, that's what I'm going to do. And so the things that we value will just be seen in our life. It will come out. It will be evidence of those things that we value in our life. You know, today we'll be talking about our fourth value, our fourth and final core value, and we're going to be talking about genuine community, or another way, we have it listed as genuine community on our website, but the way I really like to call it is biblical community. And one of the reasons why we say genuine community is we want the lost that go and look at that to not necessarily not understand it. And so we use the word genuine community or biblical community. So let's read the passage that we've read quite a few times, where our values come from, where we find our values from. And it's book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers." This group of people. Now, the first week I kind of set the tone, but we'll just make sure that we're all on the same page. Acts chapter 2, we see there in the very first part of Acts, we see in chapter 1, we see Jesus after his resurrection, and we see him spend 40 days on this earth after he rose from the dead, giving last-minute instructions. We see this in a few other places in the Gospels. We see him give some last-minute instruction in Matthew chapter 28 that we call the Great Commission. And here in Acts chapter 1, we see him in verse 8 telling the disciples that they must go and they must preach the gospel and they must tell it to all peoples, everyone. And then we see Jesus ascend into heaven in Acts 1. We see the disciples there. We see there they meet, and that Christ promises that he's going to send a helper, and he sends the Holy Spirit to indwell those new believers, or those believers there. And then they go out, and Peter preaches in the first part of chapter 2. He preaches at this place at Pentecost, and he preaches to a few thousand people. And it's the scripture says that a couple thousand people place their faith in Jesus right there on the spot. And here's where we pick up in chapter 2. After they have placed their faith in Jesus, they follow Jesus, his guidelines that he sets up on being obedient followers of Christ, being obedient to baptism. They are publicly baptized there. And then we see that they're starting to gather. And we see that they devoted themselves to the teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which could be a couple things. I would lean more towards the Lord's Supper, but I don't think we could also just limit it to that. I believe this is, they just shared meals together. They lived life together. So they breaking in bread and to prayers. They prayed for each other. They knew how important prayer was. So as our church, we value biblical or genuine community. And what does biblical community look like? We're going to answer that today. We focus in on three things as a church. Now, we could really get technical and add a whole bunch more, but man, we focus in on three things under biblical community. The first thing is unity. We are trying to establish a we kind of community in a me kind of world. Did you catch that? We're trying to establish a we kind of community, we, in a me kind of world. In Galatians chapter 3, we see in verses 26 through 28, I don't think we have those scriptures on the screen. Oh, we do. They're on the screen. It says, verse 26, it says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. Man, we are one under Christ. You know, the society puts a lot of labels on us. We get put in different categories, whether the type of neighborhood we live in, or the type of job that we have, or where our children go to school. We get all these labels. But in Christ, we are one. We are one. Jesus brings us together with a common purpose. He does. You know, I believe we can see a shift in people, and people can move from all about me to wanting to know how they can be about others. I've really butchered that. I'm sorry. But I believe we're seeing a shift, and people can move from all about me to wanting to be all about others. It's exciting. It's exciting. People being about others, serving people that are hurting. And here's the beautiful thing is, Jesus, when we put our faith in Christ, He is doing a work inside of us. We become less selfish. Man, we become less selfish. That should be our goal. No more selfies, right? What is it when you have a few people? Usies, all right, okay, yeah, I think it is, all right, yeah, it's usies now, not selfies anymore, right? Yeah. Jesus is doing a work inside of us, and He is doing this work so we'll be less selfish, but here's the thing, our sin fights against that, right? Our sin fights against Jesus trying to make us less selfish to think about others. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, we don't have time to walk through that today, but man, in 1 Corinthians, the church was in a bad state there in that in Corinth, and they had really made some poor decisions. He calls them out for when they would practice the Lord's Supper, just for one example, that they would go and the rich would come in, the rich people of the church would come in first, and they would throw this feast, and they would eat, and they would keep the people that were believers and part of that church, they would keep them out, the ones that were more needy and had less and needed more help, and they would go and they would feast and they would get drunk, and then they would, after they had their fill, they would let the other part of the church come in, the more needy part of the church come in, and basically just feast on whatever was left over, the scraps. Paul calls out this church in Corinth. There's many other things going on there, but Paul calls out this church, and And he focuses in on the unity that needed to be there, the unity that we can find in Christ. And where else would we go other than maybe a Saints football game that there would be such diversity? You know, where else are we going to go that there is so much diversity? We have people that live from different, that have moved here from different parts of the world. And our family life looks very different. But man, we have unity when we come in and we gather. There is unity found in Christ. Very exciting. Second thing that we look at is we look at generosity. Now let's look back there in Acts chapter 2 and let's pick up and read after 42 there. We read chapter 2, verse 42. Let's pick up in 43 of Acts 2. And it says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." So man, just amazing things were happening. And through the apostles, man, just many just signs and wonders and just amazing things were happening. Verse 44, and it says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Yeah, we are diverse, but man, we do have things in common, right? Well, we have Christ in common. We have our brokenness. All of us are broken, sinful people. We have that in common. But man, they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, here's what I'm not saying, church. I'm not saying that Jesus is telling you, you've got to go sell everything you have and we'll just put it in right here and we're going to build a wall and we're going to build this building and it's going to be our commune and we're going to do all this. No, I'm not saying that, okay? But here in the early church, man, those that had abundance, and we see it as you read Acts, there were people that were selling, like, they had land that they didn't use and they sold it and they gave the proceeds to the church so it could take care of the people that didn't have those resources. And it says, and they distributed these things to anyone that had need. Verse 46, and it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." So here we see a generous people. A generous people. Now, a lot of us will be generous to people that are very close to us, right? Or family members. You know, if a family member called you up right now and said, "Man, I can't feed my kids," man, we would bend over backward to make sure that a family member had the resources to feed their children. But here's the thing, as the church, as God brings us together and we have all things in common, we're getting to know each other, we're living in community with one another, we should be generous to one another. We should be generous. It says that they, day by day, attending the temple together. Man, when we gather on Sundays, and there should be some excitement there. There should be some energy there. And so when a visitor comes up, a visitor should leave this place and be, "Man, that church, and it was something different there. Something going on there. There was some excitement there. It truly felt like they cared about each other and that they cared about me." Said that they breaking bread in their homes. Like I said just a moment ago, this could be them observing the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper or communion, or this could be just sharing meals together. "Hey, won't you come to my house tonight? I want to make some jambalaya. I want to make some red beans. Man, we're going to have more than enough. Bring your family. They gathered. They received people in their homes. And it says, and with the glad and generous hearts, they praise God. And according to that last section of Scripture there at the very end, what was happening? Flip back there on the screen, Caden. Put that last verse, 47, up. Acts chapter 2. Let's read it. And it says, and praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What was happening? What? Yeah, people were coming, and they were hearing the gospel. Not only were they hearing it, but they were seeing it lived out in the people. Here's the beautiful thing. I've said this a lot. Man, it's so important when we want to be a gospel witness. Yes, we have to tell people the gospel. The words have to come out of our mouth. But at the same time, it has to be lived. We can live the gospel. Now, both have to go together. You have to understand that. Both things have to happen. Because here's the thing. I can live the gospel but never speak the gospel. And people would say, man, that's a good guy. He's a pretty good guy. But they would have no understanding of their sinfulness and the fact that Christ came to save them, to take their broken life and make it whole. They were generous. We should be generous people with our time, with the things that we can do, just the physical things we can do, whether it's a talent like we saw on the stage today. You're like, but I don't have that talent. Me neither. But man, we can use our other talents in other places. Or whether it's with our treasure. Now, one of my favorite pastors to read said this about the Christian. Said the last thing to convert in a Christian's life is their wallet. It is. And here's the thing. I don't want to sit here. This is probably my least favorite subject to talk about as a pastor, because I don't want to make you mad at me. You're like, oh, that guy only talks about money. But we should be generous with our resources. You know, they looked at their resources and they looked at them in this way. They didn't look at, this is mine. They looked at their resources as, this is God's that He has blessed me with, that I am, that God allows me to manage. And I want to manage these resources well for the kingdom of God. We must be generous with our time. We must be generous with our abilities. We must be generous with our treasures, our financial resources. We must be a generous church. That's why it's one of our core values. That's why we see in Acts 2 that it was a part of biblical community. They were generous people. And then the third thing, we talked about unity, being unified, that Christ unifies us. We talked about being generous. Now let's look at accountability. Accountability. Now we're going to flip back to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, let's pick up in verse 1 and read 1 and 2. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him and a spirit of gentleness. Okay? Some of us are very good at pointing out people's flaws, but we don't have the mindset of doing it in a spirit of gentleness. It's usually, you're wrong. I'm right. Take that. It says, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can just wrap it up like this. We should be there for one another. We should be there for one another, encouraging, giving counsel, loving someone, and gently calling out sin. Gently calling out sin. Now, let me tell you something. Before we're calling out sin in another brother or sister's life, man, we should have a relationship with them. We should. There should be a bond there. You shouldn't be known as just the person that goes around and finds out everybody's flaws. Man, there should be this bond there that we can call out people's sins, that we can give wise counsel, that we're encouraging them as well. And sometimes we just need to stop calling out their faults and just encourage what they've done well. Man, you've done this so well. And you glorified God so well with the way you carry yourself, with your speech and your actions. You know, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Man, let's sharpen one another. Let's make each other sharp. Let's encourage. It's a part of accountability as well. You know, maybe you're here and you're sitting here and you would say, I want this. I want biblical community. I want it. I want these friendships. I want people to care about me and to lovingly call me out if I'm at fault. It feels like family. You know, let me say this before we answer that question. And you can come to our church and you can attend and you will be loved and you will be encouraged, and man, we'll be ecstatic every time you walk in the door. But man, it can be so much more than just attending on a Sunday morning. It can be so much more than just showing up here at 10 and leaving around 11. It can. Biblical community is only found in Christ. And maybe you're sitting here and you would say, I feel like I'm too far gone. I feel like I've made too many mistakes. I feel like, man, if I was open and honest about my life, that, man, people would go running. Christ doesn't want anything to do with me because of what I've done, what I've said, what I've seen. You know, Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And here's the beautiful thing is, it's not that we sometimes get this mindset that it's me choosing God. But man, what does the scripture say there? It says that God, Jesus, seeks us. He seeks us. He comes after us and He pursues us and He draws us in with the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts our hearts of sin and opens our eyes to the understanding that we need a Savior. And let me tell you something. You're not too far gone and you're not too far lost. The psalmist writes how no one is out of the reach of God's hand. And let me say this. Don't think you ended up here today by random chance. Don't think that you ended up in Destrehan if you've moved to the area over the last few years. Don't think you happened to end up in Destrehan by random chance and started attending this church. Not that this is the perfect church, not that this is the only church, but don't think that you ended up here by random chance. I believe it was a sovereign God that placed you here. Not because I'm a perfect pastor or this is a perfect church, but because He wanted to build this church here, and He wants to build biblical community. And maybe if you're sitting here and you had that feeling of being too far gone, I hope that you have been encouraged by the Word to know that maybe Jesus is pursuing you right now in this moment and trying to draw you in, trying to open your eyes and open your heart to salvation. I don't care if you've been to church your whole life. Maybe God's trying to draw you to salvation, and you need to give your life to Christ. I heard a clear presentation of the gospel this week by one of our church people sharing in front of family and friends. He made this statement. He quoted Romans 10. He says, "For those who will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Praise God for that. The gospel of Jesus is good news, and you can receive this good news today. And here's what we want to do. I don't know where you are with God. We might be sitting here talking to all Christians. Might be sitting here today and talking to all Christians. But maybe not. Maybe you're just playing church. Maybe God wants to regenerate your hearts today. And He wants to bring you in. He's seeking you as lost. And He wants to bring you into this family and make you a part of this biblical, genuine community of believers. Man, today, if that's you, man, you feel God drawing you towards salvation, here's what I want you to do. We don't embarrass people here. But, man, I pray that today you would let me know that God's drawing me to salvation. Whether that's a mark on a connection card, or whether that's before you leave this building, whether you get up and slip to the back during our last songs. And I would love to sit down with each person that says, "God's drawing me to salvation," and show you what Scripture says on how we know we can be saved. For those of us that have been drawn to salvation and are followers of Christ, maybe we haven't been bought into this biblical community. Maybe we haven't. Maybe we haven't looked anything like Acts 2. We don't live life together. We're not generous. A lot of times we don't feel unified, have no accountability in our lives. And maybe God's convicting you of that today. And man, you need to make a commitment. Say, "I want to be a part of genuine community at Grace Point."